This is Some Kind of Love Stories, and I'm your host, Trina. Hey y'all, welcome back to Some Kind of Love Stories. I got a little bass in my voice today. I'm fighting off a cold and my voice is a little scratchy, but we're gonna try and make it work today anyway. This week has been a week. I really struggle with writing stories this week because I feel like I'm constantly battling this mindset of worthiness or this belief around my worthiness. Like, am I deserving of love, of happiness, of joy in any way? Growing up in the church, it was one of those things that we were consistently taught that we couldn't access without some form of divine intervention. Like, you could only find happiness, joy, love, or whatever in God, and looking for it elsewhere would be futile. I left the church a long time ago, but there are still a lot of things left to unlearn, and that's a big one for me. And of course, it's not just the church. I mean, there have been so many like people and situations in my life that made me question my own worthiness. I had an experience yesterday that had me like, what is going on? It really just makes me wonder, like, is there even space for me to claim my own worth? And is there space for me to feel unapologetically happy? This week's story is me trying to negotiate an answer to that in my own head. There'll only be one story this week. So check it out. Let me know what you guys think. Today's prompt is, do Black women deserve happiness? Let's check out the story. My mom used to say of her sister, she hit rock bottom and just kept digging, to explain why they hadn't spoken to each other in over 20 years. As a child, I took it pretty literally. I could see my Aunt Yvonne, her clothes torn and her beauty hidden under dirt, furiously trying to free herself from a hole by digging herself in deeper. Yvonne is defiant, arrogant, and haughty, my mom would say in her warnings to me. She fell hard, now look at her. Sometimes my mom would say I reminded her of Aunt Yvonne, and she predicted I would turn out just like her. My mom passed away a week ago. My sister, Antoinette, called me to share the news. She's gone, Antoinette moaned into the phone. As tense as things had been between my mother and I, this was the very last thing I wanted to or needed to hear. I felt my body crumble into the sidewalk. 1 4-hour flight later, I landed in my hometown. It was just as quiet and serene as I remembered it, as I ran from it when I was 22. In front of my mother's house were two large weeping willow trees, and their branches hung heavy with sadness. I sat in my tiny rental car and watched them for a few moments. We know that death is a part of life and that we all move through the cycles, but for a moment I just wanted it all to stop. This was too heavy, and I wanted to breathe. Antoinette came to the front door and waved to me. Andrea, she yelled, come inside. You don't see the storm coming? It was like instantly I noticed how the wind was swirling around the weeping willows, tossing their branches violently to the left. I hopped out of the car, grabbed my bags, and ran inside the house just as the rain started to fall. Antoinette closed the door behind me quickly. Here, give me your coat, she said. I shook it off my body and handed it to her. Be careful with that, I said. I just got it. Yeah, it definitely looks fancy, she sneered. She clearly wasn't impressed. Her hair was pulled into a tight long braid and she wore a simple black maxi dress. I reached out to hug her and she was taken aback. What? I said. I haven't seen you in a couple years. She nodded, then leaned into a hug. I'm sorry. How are you holding up? I asked. I'm here. I mean, Her voice dropped to a whisper. Aunt Yvonne is here.
She is?
Yeah, she came in about an hour ago. I just thought I'd warn you. I craned my neck around the corner to see Aunt Yvonne sitting quietly in an armchair watching the storm kick up outside the window. My heart fluttered. I approached and tapped her on the shoulder. Her hair was long, bone straight and white, even though she couldn't have been more than 60 years old. Her skin was tight and golden brown, and her large eyes were framed by vintage cat eye frames. She was so stunningly beautiful. She resembled my mom, but her face didn't have the hardness I had grown accustomed to. Aunt Yvonne? I asked hesitantly.
Andrea Morgan!
She stood up and hugged me tightly.
Oh my!
I couldn't imagine you more beautiful. We sat down. She settled back into her armchair, and I found a spot on the nearby couch. It's so good to see you, I said, unsure of what to say next, and hoping she'd be willing to direct the conversation.
I just can't get over it, both you and your sister. I'm so sorry I didn't see you more when you were younger.
I get it, I said. You had your own life to lead. We were quiet. I wanted to ask her about her life, about her rock bottom. She didn't look like a woman who was suffering or who had a hard life. She smiled and sighed deeply. Your mother and I used to hate storms. Grandma would make us turn out all the lights, and we would just have to sit and wait for it to pass. Now it feels like a meditation of sorts, just sitting quietly in a dark room, watching the world move and change in front of you while you're safe and dry inside.
When was the last time you spoke with Mommy?
I asked. Aunt Yvonne let out an uncomfortable chuckle.
I mean, if it's not too personal. Your mother and I had a complicated relationship, she said. We loved each other very much, but we were just very different people who couldn't meet each other halfway.
You don't need to patronize me, Aunt Yvonne, I said. You're being more gracious to her than she ever was to you. I can handle the truth, whatever it is.
Oh, I wasn't trying to insult you or hide anything. We don't speak ill of the dead, though.
You're not speaking ill, though, just truthfully. I looked back towards Antoinette, who was busying herself in the kitchen.
My mother warned me against turning into you. I just wanted to know what was so bad, so abhorrent to her.
My aunt inhaled deeply. Her eyes drifted back towards me.
I grew up seeing the burden of Black womanhood. I saw the work they did, the constant, never-ending work. All the choices they made, all the sacrifices so that someone else could have something.
Your mom saw it as heroic. I saw it as foolish.
My ears perked up.
I studied her face as she continued.
I wanted what I saw on TV. You know, it was the 70s and the 80s, and I loved soap operas. The gaudy excess, the ease of rich living.
Girl, I didn't know what I didn't know, but I was sure that it was better than working minimum wage at a fast food joint or cleaning somebody's house. I was ambitious, but I didn't know what my ambition was. I just knew I wanted to be rich.
So what were the examples around me?
You date men with means. So I started dating hustlers.
Around then was when your mom and I lost touch because she didn't approve of my choices in men.
Shit, looking back, I wouldn't have either. I quickly learned that leaning on someone else for my success was not gonna work.
I dated better men, but instead of looking to them for money, I took their knowledge and skills.
And don't get me wrong, if they offered me money, I took it. But I also got connections and business acumen. I wiggled my way into party promotions, and that led to event planning.
Your mom saw me as a failure because to her there was no way I could be doing anything legitimate to survive.
I had to be selling my body. I had to be doing something unseemly.
After a while, I just let her think what she want.
I knew exactly what she meant.
The disapproval my mother bestowed upon me weighed heavily now. She didn't like any of my choices. She didn't approve of my lifestyle, even though for the most part, I was happy.
You had to be happy, I blurted out, surprised at myself.
I deserved it. 100% I deserved it. Aunt Yvonne said, despite what she thought, I deserved it. I don't think my mom was happy, I thought for a moment. It's crazy, but things seem so much clearer to me now. Antoinette entered the room holding a plate of mini fruit tarts. She placed them in the middle of the coffee table. The rest of the guests should be arriving at any minute. Can I get you anything else? Water? I shook my head. I'm good, thanks. Aunt Yvonne reached for a tart. These look delicious, dear. Thank you, Antoinette said without a smile. She went back into the kitchen. Aunt Yvonne quickly put the tart back. Why'd you do that? I whispered. She reminds me of your mom, she whispered back. And I made a rule. If the food ain't cooked with love, I don't eat it. Always gotta be mindful about what you put in your body. So we're back with my friends and I in Vegas talking about relationships. Daveen proposed a really good question, and I decided to include that here. So what do you require from your relationship?
I can share. I require absolute loyalty.
You can drop something like a cipher when you say shit.
Absolute loyalty. Unquestionable loyalty. But beyond that, I want happiness. And that's an underrated word, because people say they want to be happy and most people aren't happy in their life. Yeah. Like, very small amount of people are actually happy. Like, I want to be happy, and so I require someone that's going to truly make me happy. Give me peace, give me love, unconditional love, without any judgment or prejudice, treat me with respect. We go through bad times and we come out stronger. Like, just be happy and peaceful in a relationship with someone who treats me as good as I deserve, because I'm treating him that way as well.
I think, I just have a question regarding your happiness. But in regards to happiness, I feel like sometimes it, I'm happy, right? I'm happy in my relationship. However, I think happiness is subjective. That's the word I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. Because what I find in my relationship, I'm not, you know, sometimes I look at other people's happiness and go, oh, I think I'll be happier if, you know, like, I'll be, it's not to say that you want to, It's not to say that you want to be complacent in a relationship. But sometimes it's like I struggle with my own happiness, because I'm like, initially when we moved out of the apartment, it was a 2-bedroom apartment, right? It was like this crazy nut house of an apartment. And we're like, we purchased our house. It's 3-bedroom house, nothing wrong with it. And I was just like, oh, babe, I think I want a 4-bedroom house. And all of a sudden I have like this other idea of what happiness is, you know? And it's not to say that I want to be complacent with within my relationship, but I want to be truly, I think sometimes it's like, am I happy with myself, or am I happy with my surroundings? Am I pushing what I'm seeing on my partner? And then I'm kind of like now becoming unhappy because he's not able to give me what other people have, you know?
That's gratitude.
Right.
Like, to be grateful.
It is about gratitude.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of, there's like a very fine line within like pushing him for greatness, and like actually just expressing gratitude for what we've built. So I'm not stepping on your happiness thing. It's just kind of like, it's just human nature to always have a next step with happiness, you know?
Yeah.
So happiness is just like,
we could journey.
Right.
And a destination.
Right, exactly. So that's
what I will add to that really quickly is, and that's why I said my answer for what did I learn about relationships, and that's why I said what I said, because I realized most times we're always searching because we haven't figured it out. And so the searching is because we haven't fully gotten to the place where we feel satisfied with who we are, with what we expect, etc., etc., right? So if we're not truly happy with ourselves or feel the value in ourselves, we're always trying to figure out how to get to that place we want to get to because we haven't hit it for ourselves yet. And so that's why for me, learning about the relationship this year was about me loving myself and what does that actually mean. Like, I love myself. I think I'm the bomb. But do I love myself because I think I do behaviors that don't always demonstrate that, whether it's how I eat or me lowering my standards with certain things or whatever the case may be. And so using the time to truly love myself and the position I want to be in life so that when I am coming together in a relationship, I'm not searching still for this happiness because I found it in myself. I found it in, you know, I don't need the material things that I used to need in the past, like the labels and stuff. Like, I have a lot of, and sometimes I still have issues because I don't buy it, but I'm holding on to the things that I do have and I sell it, like you and I talked, because I still had this attachment to it. But I've gotten to the place where I don't need the big house anymore. I have a fancy car, but I don't need multiple fancy cars because those things don't matter as much to me as they used to because I've been on this journey. And so for me, the happiness is a journey, but it also, I believe, could be a destination once you get clearer on the things that you know what will make you happy, that's truly happy. Not like happy in the short term, instant gratification, but like true
it's
happiness.
Not like a superficial happiness.
Yeah.
So you guys said valid points, and just keeping that same topic, happiness is important, but for me, to add to what you guys were saying the same topic, happiness to me is important, but for me and my next relationship and future relationships, because I believe that, I don't think I believe in the one anymore, but what's important for me in a relationship is respect. For me, it's respect. For me, when you have respect, you come, respect has an umbrella with loyalty, with kindness, with everything under it. So for me, my big thing is respect and how we fight. If we don't fight respectfully, if we don't fight honorably.
Exactly, I'm about to say that.
But. Didn't I make you guys talk? Can I talk? I have the mic. Can I finish? I said my future relationship. I ain't seen my past. I said my future relationship. Okay? So leave me alone. Okay. So, like, it's how you fight. Like, I feel like I wish everybody that we meet could come with a disclaimer code. Like,
I
have bitches and hoes under my umbrella, or I'm a hitter, or I steal your money. Like, you know, you had that experience. Yeah, so for me, it's respect. Respect has a big umbrella, you know, and everything will come with it. That's just all I have.
That's a good question. If you had added to your podcast, like, what would be our disclaimer?
Yeah.
Because we all got shit, right? So we expect this disclaimer from others.
We all have that. Okay,
what would
that be?
Our disclaimer?
Yeah, that's not just
something else. But wait, let me answer this one, and then we can do that next. So for me, what I require in a relationship, I think at this point, the one thing I haven't had is someone who 100% wants me. Like, that's my biggest thing. Like, I don't want to go into anybody with anybody who is wishy-washy, who isn't sure, who isn't willing to put in any effort or do any actual work to actually make a relationship happen. If I have to be the person carrying the burden and pushing everything forward, it's not going to work. So I need somebody who knows 100%, hands down, I want to be with you. That's it. So that's my thing. But okay, disclaimer. What's the disclaimer that would come with you if you had a little warning sign?
The disclaimer that comes with me?
Yeah.
What would be your disclaimer?
What's your bad habit?
Oh, I got a whole bunch of goddamn bad habits. I mean, this is conversations I've had with each and every one of you guys on a regular basis. I think my disclaimer is going from 0 to 100 real quick. You know, my ability to turn up in the least, like, in the worst situation is real. One of the things that I have been trying to work on is my emotional intelligence, my empathy. Can y'all stop talking? I'm out here trying to do the damn podcast and y'all sitting there. But no, I'm working on my emotional intelligence. I feel like sometimes I lack empathy and I lack grace. And those are both things that I want people to give me. And it's also two of the hardest things for me to give people. So, I mean, my disclaimer really is, yes, maybe I do lack that grace that I've been trying to tell people to give me. In those situations where I'm so emotional that my first reaction is always my worst reaction, you know? I apologize, Christopher, for turning up in that house. That's what I mean, but really and truly, I'll be going off.
So that's actually mine as well. I think I'm actually very empathetic. Like, I actually do care about other people and what they're going through, and I relate well to others. But I have this, I guess because I've had like struggles in my life and a lot of difficult moments, I have this thing about work it out. Like, I don't have the patience when people are like down and out. And I guess that comes from me feeling like when I had those moments, there was no one there making it better for me. I had to like get it together myself. And so I'm like, whatever you're going through, I actually do empathize because it's rough.
Figure it out.
Like, I don't have patience or grace. I just expect you to get it together and don't need a lot of time to get it together. And that's my biggest issue.
For me, I'll say I have trust issues. My trust issues don't let me flee, though, which is stupid. But anyways, I have trust issues and I'm always looking for the shoe to fall. So it's just like I don't get to enjoy too much. And then the unconscious... Contrary to the trust issue, though, I also can go blind. Because when the lack of trust becomes too much for me, instead of leaving, where most people will, I will just put my head in the sand. Yeah, so like what the crowd was saying, I curse a lot when I'm frustrated. But it's not initiated by me first. It's just, instead of communicating my feelings, I just vomit out these words and expressions.
That's a disclaimer.
Yeah.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
The fact...
No, that is my
disclaimer. No, the fact that you said it's not me initiated. Like, you're putting the blame on someone else for your bad behavior. Don't put the blame on them. There's nothing anyone should be able to do that make you disrespect them.
They disrespect me first. That's like your tick-to-tat. So I guess I have a tick-for-tat, too. I have a tick-for-tat, and my tick-for-tat is if you come at me wrong, I'm going to come back at you. That's why I said in my future relationships, I want to be able to fight more respectfully. Thank you.
What I have learned in our stories is that everyone is always searching for something that they didn't have. You know, people searching for kindness, like, you know, my previous relationship didn't really include a lot of kindness in there. Sammy wants happiness because maybe her previous relationship didn't have happiness. Or Davina searching for respect because her ex-husband is trash. So but it's a truth.
I think my disclaimer would be, well, I have a bunch of them. I don't fight fair. I do feel like I have to try, even when I know like things aren't going well or are not going to end up my way, I have to try anyway. And so like I don't give up when I should give up. Like there are many times it's like, ain't no hope for this, just let it go. And I'm like, nope, but let me just try one more thing. Nope, but let me just keep going. And I'm like constantly investing in dead situations.
But is that more like a pride thing?
I don't know if it's a pride thing. I feel like it's a you just don't give up on shit thing, especially if it's important to you. You don't give up on it. But after a while, I think when it comes, what you were saying about like being able to recognize that like if I'm loving myself properly, would I be doing this? Like, would this action, does this action match? And I think like that to me is what's coming up. Is like I can easily say that I value someone else. But am I valuing myself if I'm allowing myself to stay in a situation that's not good for me? because I don't want to give up, because I want to keep trying.
I was going to say that. I don't know if it's pride, but, like, do you feel... Because women, I think, have this thing where we do value others more than ourselves. And we sometimes get into this place where we think we can't get better. Like, this, that relationship we're in is the best we could get in that moment. Right. And then we get out of it, and you're like, oh my gosh, why was I so unhappy with this person when there's so much better out there? But sometimes you forget that there's better because you feel like that's what you could get. Like, that's what you deserve, that's what you can get, that's all you can get. Like, versus realizing that somebody who's better quality will want you more than the person you're with that you're investing all this energy into.
I think that's kind of a big thing for me. Like, I have, like, long stretches between people usually, like, really, really long stretches. And so I do get into spaces where I'm like, damn, do you really want to go back to being single again? Like, do you really want to go for another 5 or 6 years of not having nobody to talk to, nobody to deal with? And that makes me at least want to, that's why, part of why I'm like, I need to figure it out. And I feel like it is a way of, like, settling. It's like, you know, yeah, it's, he ain't great, but it's better than being by myself 100%.
So you accept what is versus what can be.
Right.
You know. You don't know what can be. When is it going to come?
Never.
Is it going to be better? Like, so you love the devil. What's that phrase? You love the devil you're with,
you know,
or something?
Yeah.
You know the devil you're
with. Love the devil you're with versus it. Like, it's like one hit, like, bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, that kind of thing. Sometimes the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. But yeah, so I think those would be, like, my biggest ones. It's like, A, once I'm in, you're going to have a really hard time getting rid of me. And I don't fight fair. Like, and I have no shame about that shit, too. Well, I should have shame, but I don't.
And that was my show for today. Thank you all for listening, and I will talk to you all again, God willing, next week. This podcast was created, written, produced, and edited by Katrina Mitchell. Our special guests for today were Renee DaCosta, Devine Gordon, and Summer James. If you would like to read more stories, please check out my books, She Lives and Text Messages, available now on Amazon. A link will be provided in the show notes. Also, be sure to follow me on IG at The Dramatical Life or at AfroCrush Media. If you enjoyed what you heard, please leave a 5-star rating. You are greatly appreciated.